Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and also here, as always,
it's Ben Vanell, and a very hearty good morning, video games, to you, Tommy. Mm-hmm. And joining us, as always,
Adam Knox. Good morning, video games, indeed. I was looking at my phone because I'm waiting for the Google Docs app to download.
Wonderful plug for the Google Docs app.
So, well, the sponsors of the episode this week, Google. It's been a big get for us.
Now, I like what you guys did there. You both said good morning video games as well, which you've never done before.
Yeah.
Makes me feel a little less silly for having set it up the top.
Nice.
And going forward, I'd appreciate this if we made this canon from now on. What do you think?
Yeah, that's fair. I like it. I like to say this catchphrase that I made up originally and have not got to say for 90-something episodes.
Well, what about if we plug this? We now have a T-shirt design.
Yeah.
Do we at this point?
Yes.
Is that live?
You didn't make up good morning video games.
Yeah. Yes, I did.
No,
yeah,
you didn't.
Yeah, I did. Are you trying to claim good morning video games?
I was saying it about Robin Williams. That's where it came from years ago.
Go back into the archives, my friend.
It was before we even recorded the first one.
I recall Ben saying it on an episode for the first time.
For the first like five episodes, I prepared a bit, and that was one of them.
And that stuck.
I swear, because I used to go, I've said this on the podcast before, good morning, Robin Williams, when I did the breakfast show.
How you don't say video games in
there? Yeah.
But that's, I swear, where it came from.
Yeah, I think you told that story after Ben said it. Good morning, video games, for the first time.
Yeah.
This is a wonderful plug for the T-shirt.
This is one of them Berenstain Bears things where everyone thinks we've slipped into a different world because they're too narcissistic to admit that they've got their memory wrong.
Like, neither of you wrote the movie Good Morning Vietnam.
That's why I'm so confused by this.
The idea for our catchphrase first.
Robin and I sat down and worked on Good Morning Vietnam along with IMDb.com.
Aladdin. Anyway, yes, we now have a T-shirt design that you can purchase on Redbubble.
Yes.
You can find the link on our website and our social media. It is a wonderful design crafted by our very own in-house guru, Ben Vanell.
Or was it Adam Knox?
I made that T-shirt.
I can't remember.
Well, I'm going to lay claim to inventing the very concept of clothing, so I'm going to pip you both at the post there.
All right.
But yeah, it's Good Morning Video Games, our hotly contested catchphrase of the show, in the Super Nintendo Entertainment System logo format.
It's in a logo we made up that Nintendo has nothing to do with and couldn't be angry about.
Well, we're selling it through a third party on Redbubble, so I feel like they can take any of the legal heat. Like, I feel like we're safe to just admit that we've plagiarized it, right?
Yeah, I think
I feel like that's the least safe thing to do.
There's about 1,000 Mario drawings on Redbubble being sold. So
that's Maria, my original character, who is a female plumber with a mustache.
Good morning, Maria.
So yeah, you can hop on and get one of them if you would like. I think they look great.
If you're a Patreon subscriber at the $50 a month tier, you'll be getting one for free.
Yes, and yes, we should plug that, the Patreon. We just sent out the first of our bonus episodes, the book club episode on Super Metroid, which people really enjoyed. So yeah, you can support the show if you would like to. Another way that you can support the show, if you are in Sydney, is you can come and see us do a live episode and Mario Kart tournament December the 16th at Cake Wines in Sydney.
And we will give you a show as well. You won't just be supporting the show. We'll say thank you and then make you leave.
We stand there with a bucket, and then once everyone's chipped in, we just walk out. We straight out the door. Yeah. Just take the bucket down to the Cass, ride the one-armed bandit all night.
I'm going to buy a smoke machine so it can look like I ran off so quickly that I turned into smoke.
That's great. So you're trying to look like you run off quickly, but you have to you also, to do that, have to plug in the smoke machine.
I'll have set
wait
it
for
up
it to
beforehand.
Warm up. Set it up beforehand. Okay. Right.
And then I'll come back the next day to get it so nobody sees me picking it up afterwards.
Yes, okay. And how are you going to look like you're making a speedy escape from picking up the smoke machine?
A series of smoke machines. I'm going to have
paint
like,
a couple of lines on the wall and just walk
past
them.
Yeah, a Hansel and Gretel line of smoke machines from here to Sydney that I slowly work my way back.
And then throw yourself into an oven and cook yourself to death.
Ideally.
So, that is all good stuff that you can come and see. Tickets and T-shirts and Patreon links at our website, filthycasuals.com.au. Mm. Since our last episode, the official trailer number 2 for Red Dead Redemption has gone live, a Rockstar Games joint. That happened like the day after we put last week's episode up. What do you guys think? Let me finish about this new shirt I'm wearing.
I love it.
Thanks.
I don't think it's as good as the first one you were wearing. I'm not sure if it looks as interesting as that one.
This is only the second shirt I've ever owned in my whole life. It was time to upgrade. The other one was very tight on me.
Both cowboy themed.
This one was actually made. This is actually a shirt from before the. Ah, fuck, let it go.
Yep.
I wish your shirt was getting released on PC.
What do you guys think? I think it looks great. As someone who has no, I've never played the first one. I don't really have a great deal of expectation tethered to this.
Yeah.
I just think it looks great. Like visually, the character appeals to me. The story appeals to me. Whatever it is, I'm in. But obviously that's going to be different if you've got.
I don't think the character in the trailers appeals to me at all, kind of. I don't want to play as that character. Like, John Marston in the first game, or in Red Dead Redemption, was a fantastic character with a really good arc, and like it's a lot to measure up to.
A very sort of atypical cowboy character as well, where like he was this. When I describe this is going to sound like a real cowboy thing.
Yeah.
He was a family man deep down who wanted to get out of. But like the way that they did that story was very non. Bland, whatever that word is. Interesting.
I think it's fair to say it is atypical because like even like thinking of the spaghetti westerns and movies like that, like Clint Eastwood is not really like he's a reluctant hero, but in the way where he really is, he knows he's the best. Mm. He's the best dude, and he's coming to town and he's taking care of business.
Yeah, he's climbing just over walls and knocking on barrels.
Totally.
I watched one scene from a Fistful of Dollars the other day, and he climbed over a wall and knocked on a barrel.
He's just.
I've never seen a Clint Eastwood Western, but I have seen Gran Torino. So can you relate it to that in some way?
I think his character in Gran Torino would be a big fan of Clint Eastwood Westerns.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like the bit where he's like pointing at the guy and pretending he's shooting him with a gun. In the Westerns, he's doing that for real.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. Okay, now I'm in. I get it.
But at least like even in those, he at worst, he's kind of like dispassionate to the people around him. But deep down, you know, he's like a good guy. But John Marston was like very passionate about his family, like very had a lot of core, you know, morals, but was like, you know, being pushed through this story by corrupt government officials and like shitty old gang members. And it was just a different take. It felt like a different take.
Very similar in a weird way to Nico from GTA 4, but just done way better.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, he was this guy who like, and it really did feel like John Marston really didn't want to do it.
Yes.
Because, and then the way that, spoilers for the end of first Red Dead Redemption, the way that at the end of that game, it let you for quite a long time just hang around your ranch and do stuff for your family.
Yeah.
Was so smart and such a good way to sort of get to the ending of that game.
Yes.
But yeah, like, all, I mean, it's a minute and a half long, the trailer, but all you see of the guy who they're saying is the main character, Alex something?
Arthur Morgan.
Arthur Morgan. He has a square jaw.
Yep.
And he threatens a child.
Yes.
In that's basically all he does.
He looks like a Josh Brolin character.
He does. Kind of like a villainy one.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Do you remember what the first trailers for Red Dead 1 were like? because I'd be interested to know what kind of indication that gave about what you ended up playing. Because obviously, this, you know, there's obviously way more to see about this. We don't know if there'll be multiple characters.
Totally.
That's something I've seen speculated quite a lot.
Yeah.
This guy might not even be... Well, have they said this is the guy or one of the guys that you're playing as? Like, we don't even know that.
Maybe. So. I think in the text that goes along with it, like on their website or something, it says, this is Alex Morgan, who the character from Red... Maybe not specifically the guy you play as.
Yeah, he could just
I would love to see them do some kind of like Metal Gear Solid 2 turn and have this guy be the first 5 hours of that game, and you then... I would like it if you then... have to kill him as John Marston to join that gang or something.
Totally.
Because Dutch is the other character who's they say the name of in that trailer.
Yeah, a young Dutch who, in the first Red Dead was he the leader of the gang or...
No, that's Top Cat.
Gary Glitter, I thought. But that's less of a gang and more of a ring. But he killed the guy who was the leader of that gang to become the leader of the gang.
There's like, what is he, Bill Williamson? There's like two or three that are like the big dogs. And John Marston was never a big dog. He was just like, you know, a good guy.
Medium dog.
A medium dog, yeah.
So your concerns aside about this being the one and only main playable character.
You
put that aside. What do you think of this trailer? Like, just assessing him as a character and everything else that's going on and the tone and the feel.
It looks like the first one, but with much better graphics.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. It looks like they've expanded the stuff that was cool about the first game just from that brief bit of like...
Yep.
The crocodile eating the, or I guess it would be an alligator eating the buffalo or whatever was happening there.
Yeah, yeah.
Just little things about like the world looks like it's going to be more interesting.
So, believable and rich.
Yeah.
I really want to play the first one. Yeah. I really want that to come out remastered on something. Or not even remastered, just
it's
available.
It's backwards compatible on the Xbox One is the only
that thing I don't
do
have.
Yeah. And other than that, you just have to have one of the... last generation.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that surely they'll, in the lead up to
this too late.
Coming out. The other thing, if they were going to do it, they would have... I was kind of thinking when they said they were putting this trailer up, I was sort of thinking maybe there'll be an announcement on the back of... You know, this is like the most we're seeing. This kind of feels like the big reveal because the first trailer kind of showed us nothing apart from just the world.
Yeah. They say fall 2018, which is March, April, May, because that's spring... No, what the
fuck? It's
spring 2018 in America.
Yeah,
right.
Or in Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
So if they released the first one in any sort of form again, it would be pulling the rug out from under their own game.
Because the first one it holds up, like, by all reports.
Yeah.
It is huge.
Yeah.
There's massive replay value and there's a multiplayer that's really good. So, if they were all of a sudden to go, this is on PS4, this is on PC, finally.
Yeah.
Which it wouldn't be.
No.
It would be a very strange thing to do.
I think, by all accounts, that game was kind of fucked in the way they built it as well.
Yeah, you've said this a bit, that the original code of it is impossible.
It might just be too hard
to
put on anything else because it's kind of a mess.
Oh, look, I just very selfishly want it to happen because I want something to fill the gap and I don't want to wait until
this. I would love that too. And
once a week I have to sit in a room with two fucking jabbering idiots who go on and on and on about how the first one makes their dick harder than it's ever been.
Correct. It was one of the best 3 to 5 games of that generation, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it looks like I'm very much up for more of whatever. And I'm very glad that trailer made it look like there's going to be a hefty single player thing again.
Yes.
Rather than, because there was some, and I don't know if anyone really thought this would happen, but because of the success of GTA Online, that they might shift focus into just being like, hey, let's fucking make these microtransactions happen some more.
But there'll be, I would reckon that would be a big part of this one. There'll be a big online component.
Oh, definitely.
Like
the first Red Dead's multiplayer was like a setup for GTA 5's almost. Like it had similar ideas.
Because they brought out like an add-on pack that was like zombies and shit, right?
Yes.
So they'll have an online component where you end up being able to do all sorts of wacky stuff that breaks the reality of... Like, there's that crazy gravity-defying racetracks thing in GTA Online now.
Undead Nightmare
insane shit in there.
Yeah. It was more like a Simpsons Halloween special or something. It was so fucking good.
Yeah. But I reckon they'll have that. They'll have heaps of online stuff that's just like,
yeah,
hey, you can players a talking horse or whatever.
Yeah, here's a Pegasus.
I mean, I hope it's at least as good as that. Mr. Ed DLC.
And why not? Yeah, do all of that stuff. But it looks like it'll be the good single player thing that I want to. And also there was a map that got allegedly leaked.
Yes. Yeah, I remember this. Yes.
So some people compared the stuff from the trailer to what that map said it had in it.
Yeah.
And the map sort of carries on from the northeastern part of the original game's map.
Yeah.
Well, it isn't there. There's a whole like Reddit community of people trying to like already design a map based on just like snippets that they've seen in
well,
the trailer.
Well, this one came out. Like,
right.
This
so
one
this
was
an actual leak of an actual apparent
right,
map.
Right.
Yeah. Someone's uncle worked at Rockstar. Yeah. I don't know why. There's going to be nude codes in it as well, I've
Hell
heard.
Yes.
Pretty fucking cool. Let me see that cowboy dick.
Yeah. Ooh.
But it'll almost definitely be good and almost definitely not come out when they say it's going to come out. I bet it'll be this time next year.
Mm, okay.
But that's fine. Take as long as you need to make something good.
Yeah.
I reckon. That's why we put out one of these a week. We record every day.
Yeah.
But only yeah. one of them is good enough
We've
to release.
A 1 in 7 chance every time we sit down that this is going to be the one that we put out. There was also news this week. This is in the lead up to the SNES Classic Mini coming out, they've been publishing a bunch of interviews with the developers of some key games that are on it. They spoke to some of the developers of Super Mario World, and there's like a little animation when you're on Yoshi, when you make him stick his tongue out, where people have kind of debated for a while, is Mario pointing and saying, there, go stick your tongue out in that direction, or is he belting Yoshi on the back of the head?
Yeah.
And after all these years...
Donkey Kong punching him.
Very nice. After all these years, the developers have broken their silence and come out to confirm, yeah, he is bashing him in the back of the head.
Yeah.
I love stuff like this. Like, I love these little bits of trivia that people sit on for all this time and then just, like, someone asks them. All it took was just asking the right question.
Yeah. Mario seems to interact with everything by punching, because I always thought he was hitting the blocks with his head, but he punches them as well.
You really thought he was hitting them with his head?
Yeah. I thought he was hitting him with his head until
really?
5 seconds ago.
Yeah, no, he's punching him.
Yeah,
because
okay.
he jumps up and his little jump has the punch
in
it as well.
That makes sense.
I always just thought it was his head.
Yeah,
but you
because
couldn't
I guess
make
in the 3D
it...
ones it is his head.
Yeah.
No, there's still the fist is going up
is
before
there?
The head makes
wow.
contact.
Yeah,
now,
mate,
this
I don't
is
know.
A Berenstain Bears situation.
Yeah.
How would he make it to the end of the game without serious concussion / breaking
that
his hat. Skull wide open?
I don't know.
I mean, it just doesn't make sense, guys.
I used to run around jumping into bricks with my head all the time. And look at me. Look at me.
There was a guy at my high school who, like, he would sometimes punch a wall to show that he was cool.
Man, that is cool.
Well, that is cool.
Like, that's what Mario does.
Yeah.
That's undeniably cool. So what, was this in the classroom? He just would stand up
no,
and
it was
go,
only
a get
couple
a load
of
this.
Times, and I just remember him coming up to us and being like, check out that. And his knuckles were all bloody. And he was like, see that? And I was like, oh my God, how'd you get that? He's like, punched a wall.
What year was
sick.
This?
He brought an axe to school once.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. What year level was this?
This was after I was kept back in year 12 for the fourth time.
Okay.
So we were all 19 or whatever.
All of you. Well, he certainly would have been.
I don't know. We were all 15 or something, 14.
So high
okay,
school,
right. Early
yeah.
high
yeah.
school, right.
Yeah.
Because I was like, that's the difference between it being like, okay, that kind of makes sense that that's an age where that's the sort of thing you'd think was cool. If you said like year 3, I'd go, wow, this is deeply,
this
deeply
is,
early trouble.
This is primo emo time as well.
Yeah,
so this
yeah,
is,
yeah.
This is
I love primo emo.
Deep in the middle of, you know, that sort of culture of like, yeah, man, pain's good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, Yoshi could relate to that. Just getting clocked on the back of the skull.
I like that thing of how fucking like replaceable Yoshis are. The idea that Yoshi is a character and exists as sort of like a mascot thing, but then is also this infinity clone.
Yeah, that's the thing I've always found weird. That
the different
there's,
coloured ones and
yeah,
everything.
That there's like, so there's like, what, hundreds of thousands of these things.
Yeah.
But then the ones that we, like when we play as him in Mario Kart, is that the same Yoshi from game to game? Or is that just a different one that's, you know,
no one
is,
knows,
this
man.
The,
yeah.
is this the alpha Yoshi?
Hugh yeah, Jackman will do anything for his magic. What's that movie called? The movie about
Prestige.
The clones? No, Mary-Kate and Ashley take Manhattan.
The They're Yoshi
clones
trap.
Of each other, right?
And they certainly are in a movie called Take Manhattan.
There's one where they become
now, just
the
wait
president.
One New York minute.
They do become the... Or they mow the president's lawn or something in some
yeah.
movie.
Mm.
Yeah, who cares?
But yeah, that raises a lot of weird questions about... So, you know, he's... Mario... Belt him in the back of the head yeah. and he's sticking his tongue
well,
out.
Yeah. It makes make a lot of sense yeah. why his tongue goes, go oh, fuck!
Yeah. As soon yeah. as an enemy touches him, he fucking cracks the shits, throws right. Mario off his back and goes running away.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's sick of being punched in the head. What
so
do you mean?
Breaking point is when someone else does it to him.
Well, whatever
so,
enemy is
So he's angry at
Mario
for steering
is
him
freeing
in.
Freeing Yoshi. So that Yoshi oh. can run the fuck away from Mario oh. as he's always wanted to.
Okay, mm. okay.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Not really. But why does him touching an enemy, why does that trigger that?
Because the Goomba hurts Mario.
But
and it knocks Mario off of Yoshi.
Okay,
and then
right.
Yoshi's like, I'm finally free.
Right.
My
Let me out of here.
I can
yeah.
run. I yeah. can run back and forth, but I cannot climb this wall.
And how's he going to get
I'm
out of
I'm trapped
there?
Here forever.
He doesn't know to jump unless Mario viciously kicks him in the side.
God, it's a shame that they got rid of the little noise that he makes in the SNES game.
Yeah.
And now he has this like little kind of cutesy...
Wait, what's the noise he makes in the SNES game?
You know, he makes a little whoop-whirl, that little
oh,
noise when you jump
He
on
still
him.
Does that, does it? Oh, no, I guess he's just like... Bleh.
Yeah, now yeah. he's like... he's yee! He's like, you know, does all these little squeaks and stuff.
Yeah.
When, 31.
Charles Martinet's like 60-something.
Mm.
Yeah. But you don't want to be like him, do you?
I'd take that job.
He seems
It's
mental.
Me, Mario. I can't get as high as he can.
Do either of you follow him on Instagram?
No. I don't follow him on Twitter, let alone Instagram.
He's mental. Like, yeah. it's worth it because he's... It's a good watch, but okay. he's not right.
No, I don't think he is.
I think he thinks he's like... I think he thinks he is the game.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a lot of blurring of the lines of reality and the work of fiction that he's paid to be a part of.
Well, all the best to him.
I mean, he's not punching walls crazy, but he's, you know, he's up there.
He's punching baby dinosaurs crazy.
So, in terms of games we've played this week, it's been a bit of a big week of new releases.
Just yeah. very quickly before we move on as well, I saw something, because it's like about the stuff of developers saying why they did things. There was that thing about Breath of the Wild as
oh, yeah.
well.
Oh,
it was
yes.
kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I thought it was extremely interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I knew as soon as I read it that this is extremely Ben Vanel shit.
Yeah. yeah. yeah.
Taking the world and making it just a series of shapes that can be slowly processed. I love it.
I love structure, baby.
That triangle thing, though, was really cool. So yeah. it was like, I don't know where it came from, but I saw it in the form of a Twitter thread, which I think someone translated from an article that was
yeah,
from
Yeah, I think they did a yes. presentation. I think Nintendo did a, right. one of the developers did a talk about it, and right. someone, and then that got transcribed in a magazine, and then someone translated that from Japanese into English.
Right, right. And right. so the main takeaway that I had from it...
Pizza.
...was, yeah.
I was, like, chewing my nail. Otherwise, I would have been in there right at the
well,
same time.
It's a disgusting habit, and hopefully this is a lesson to you to stop chewing your goddamn nails.
Put a pizza in there instead.
Okay.
The thing of... A big design thing for them was to
Indian.
Make as many things triangles as they could.
Yeah, yeah.
Because and I, the reason I liked that was because the idea of a triangle being a choice.
Yes.
And
yes.
So if you see a triangle, you've got an option of going left or right to get to the other side of
well,
it.
Well, what is it? You yeah. can go straight through. You can go yes. left or right. You can also go around
and
it.
And so it obscures yeah. what's yeah. behind it as well to give you a sense of discovery.
Yeah.
And then it was sometimes rectangles, but like so rather than it being the focus on the shapes, it was more the focus on don't show people everything and make everything look like there's a choice before you see
yeah.
it.
Yeah, it was a really interesting thing of like that's the most remarkable thing about that game is how it's you get so lost in it feeling like a real world that is just created by, you know, whatever, just natural landmass and everything.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to get caught up in that and then you remember, oh no, someone designed every inch of this.
Yeah.
And it's just a nice insight into exactly how that took place.
And that thing
going,
like,
oh, they sat there and drew a big map.
Having this very simple rule that you then apply to this huge area is always such a cool thing because it makes this, what's the word? Not exacerbate.
Good.
No.
Pizza.
No, but...
It makes this big
now
pizza.
Now that's all I'm thinking about.
Capricciosa.
What do you call it when something...
Extrapolate.
Maybe.
You haven't even told us what the meaning of the word
like
you're looking for is.
One little thing spreads into lots of
exponential.
Different things. Exponential.
Yeah.
That's the word.
Yes. Yeah, because they also showed like a zoomed out, almost bird's eye view of like how an actual landscape can be dotted with these triangles or pyramids.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's the philosophy of like making the player want to see what's around the next corner.
Yeah, yeah.
Over and over and over again.
Look it up. It's we'll post it on our socials. It's a great read. And they do the specific things of like how this kind of castle. What is there a bit where you go to a bridge and like that's a cool reveal, and then you know round the and it's obscured by mountains,
yeah.
And then round the corner from that there's a tower and
yep.
Yeah, just all that sort of stuff is.
And had, like little things of. They would fix bugs along the way because they realised early on it would be too big.
Well, that was one guy.
Yeah.
I think the story is that was one guy who was kind of championing going, if we debug this when it's done, it's going to take fucking forever.
Yeah.
So he was kind of pushing to do it.
So just like,
along
really
the
smart
way.
Things
yeah.
early on.
And there,
can make
and
some great.
I kind of didn't properly read this bit, but it was the...
but blood... Gris number Juntstow, I think
moon,
it said.
The moon landing was faked, I think was the point of it. No,
you read that perfectly.
Something how they would, the developers would kind of like plant notes for each other in the world as they were building it.
Yeah.
So you would come
so
to
they'd,
a bit.
They'd like tag issues or bugs or ideas or whatever.
As a shorthand
would double
for,
up on work because you're not going to read your emails at the same time as you're doing it. So having it in the world makes total sense.
Yeah.
I would love it if they'd have accidentally left in one of those little signs just saying like, fucking, I don't like this area.
Yeah. Or just like, your turn to get coffee, you cunt.
Have you seen that thing?
just fucking outing someone. Like,
I think it's in like, I don't know.
Can't believe he's rooting the boss's missus.
It's either a Tomb Raider game or a Hitman game or something. There is like an item where the description is something like, please write item description here.
Great. Great.
And it like singles out one person's name as well.
Oh, nice.
that's a fantastic read. And it's interesting though, like the, like there's part of me that's in two minds about it where I love reading stuff like this, but I also love there just being a little bit of magic in the world. You know, like I think sometimes it's interesting the choices that people who make these things have to make between is this, you know, is there more merit in like letting people know how we did it as an interesting exercise in design, or maybe people who are studying this kind of stuff might like to know, or, you know, are you better off, you know, keeping the lid on it because Nintendo.
Then you're no better than a magician.
Well,
Nintendo
typically
I'm
don't.
I'm never gonna tell.
Nintendo typically don't do this kind of like they are very big on like, and that's why it's been interesting the reviews, the interviews that they've had about the games that are on the SNES Mini. Like some of the little tidbits in that are stuff that like just has never been revealed about the ways that they even just little things about how they made Super Mario Kart are like super interesting. Doesn't seem like they seem very into the idea of like. You get this thing and it's like, you know, who cares how we made it? Just play the thing.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know.
I love that shit though. It's DVD commentaries.
Like
Valve used to do those really well where they'd have, did you ever turn on any of the little bubble? Like, so you could turn on basically DVD commentary mode in Valve games and they would have these little bubbles in the world that you'd hit and then there'd be one of the developers explaining like, yeah, people weren't coming through this door that they were meant to come through when we were testing it, so we just turned this light on here and then everyone went to the light
bunch
of fucking moths and we're never going to make any more games ever again.
Oh, yeah. I think Bioshock might have done those recently. There's
possibly.
Been a few games,
in the re-release, I think there was something like that. Because, play through it the first time and have the magic thing and whatever.
Yeah.
But then afterwards...
I'm
tell me how you did the
such
trick.
A freak for like concept sketches of anything I really like. I love seeing like in cartoons the character designs before they got refined. Like I love all that stuff.
Marjorie
and I wish
bunny ears and whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I wished when they did Super Mario Maker, they kind of started putting out little bits and pieces of like their like little original sketches for Mario Brothers.
That's right.
I love
the graph
seeing
paper levels and stuff. Yeah,
I
the
love
original
seeing
Yoshi,
all that kind of stuff.
Where he had like a beak.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It looked
right.
way more kind of dinosaurish.
Yeah.
You can find a lot of there's some really great ones for when they were trying to design Sonic the Hedgehog and like he was
you
a rabbit.
You can find a lot of
point.
Drawings of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah. What is it, Rule 38?
I think four less than that.
There's a
you know exactly.
I think it's four that's why I said it in the I chose my words carefully.
Yeah. Yeah, he was like a rabbit at one point, and like, right. Well, and just like you can, they're
that makes more sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Rabbits are much quicker, but hedgehog is like funny because they're slow.
But you can find like the development of like, and all those like, it's not video games, but like the big art of Pixar books. Like I froth on that sort of stuff, yeah. So hard, like all the watercolor paintings of like the preliminary sketches and stuff. But well, hey, speaking of cartoons and animation and that kind of stuff, one of the big releases of this week, yeah. Which started to seem like it was quite frankly never going to come out, Cuphead yeah, came out like on the Xbox this week,
yeah. And on the PC, oh, as
Windows
well.
10. Only.
Oh, really? I thought it was on Steam.
I think it's just Windows 10.
I think it's on Steam too. I think I was looking at that earlier.
Okay, then I'll get it and play it.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was just, for some reason, like the whatever, the Microsoft store.
I think it's on that.
I'll tell you what the reason was. You're a fucking dipshit. That's what it is.
I'm a real Cuphead.
As more of a mug man myself, I feel qualified.
You do like the mug on stage. I'm really interested to hear about this game.
Yeah,
I've
me
just,
too.
Fuck, I really have been so into the style and even what looks like the gameplay since it was announced.
Yeah, so it
is on Steam. I just checked. Yeah,
awesome.
This has been. I think this is one of the ones we've been talking about since we started this show.
It's yeah. been 3 years
been
or something.
Being
yeah.
made for a very long time.
Yeah. Well, because they showed it and it was all just bosses, and then people went, "Oh, really?" And they yes. went and made more.
Great
of it.
Impression of everyone.
I feel as a man of the people, mm-hmm. yeah. I feel willing to speak for everybody when I say, "Fucking blah blah blah." That's what I think people are saying mostly at the moment. Just yeah. screams.
To be fair, I think most people who had that reaction to Cuphead would have reacted in that snotty
yeah.
way.
Yeah, fair.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's,
I deserve more.
It started getting shown off, and people were really drawn to it because it's done in this like beautiful hand drawn 1950s Fleischer
even
cartoons
earlier, so
style.
30s,
right?
Every
yeah.
time you die, which will happen a lot, it says copyright 1930 on these.
Right. Right.
Yeah,
cool. Right.
It's
so
fucking great in that aspect too. Like every aspect of the presentation they've nailed. Like I've seen people complaining about the music being old fashioned, but like of course it is.
Yeah.
But it is a little dull to listen to nowadays, but in what it is, it's That's, done well.
Yeah.
Right.
It feels weird to hear a bunch of clarinet. You know
I'm
what I mean?
Fucking more excited than I was before to hear that. That sounds fucking great. I love woodwind instruments.
It's a lot
hell.
Of like it's a lot of blend into the background brass and stuff, and like right. the music is just a little
merry melodies, kind of the
yeah right.
the cow
even
the,
less than that, and it's right. all quite tinny deliberately.
Yeah, okay. yeah
but
yeah.
it just is a little kind of backgroundy.
Yeah, okay.
But it's fine. But the visuals are fucking incredible.
Yeah.
It looks so good. It like. You could make a real solid argument to say that this is the best looking game that's ever
yeah,
been
right.
made.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Go ahead,
fuck,
make
I
it
I don't
now.
Know if I like playing it.
Yeah.
It's like, it is really hard in a way that isn't going to sit well with a lot of people who come to it, I reckon. Like,
to me, from what I've read of it, it sounds hard in a way that is not fun. Or let me rephrase that I would not find fun.
It's very right. Groundhog Day
mm-hmm.
in that you learn.
You die again and again and it's just
yeah,
memorizing
you,
the patterns. Right.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
You're yeah. learning exactly what to. It feels like Contra or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Where
I just want to know, this is the second week in a row that we've referenced Groundhog Day.
Is it really?
Yeah. You know what that feels like.
Think of something that's not Groundhog Day quickly.
Quick, we all do comedy. Prove ourselves.
What's the other Groundhog Day? Groundhog Day 2?
Ghostbusters 2, yeah.
The listeners will remember this when we plug our comedy festival shows. Quick.
Yeah, it's just like, it's a little frustrating at
yeah,
times
okay.
in that you don't always feel like your skill is the only thing that's being tested.
Right.
Yeah.
It's your memory as well, which... It's very much designed with that in mind, and so from that point of view, I don't think it's necessarily a flaw
right.
and more
yeah.
of a style choice.
It yeah. sounds to me like there are big bits where you just are going to die. And I do
yeah.
like that thing of in a platformer where, yeah, it's hard and you die repeatedly, but by the time you clear it, you've memorized everything.
Yeah.
So you're just doing it on instinct.
Yeah.
Rayman Legends has a couple of levels like that.
Yeah.
That are, and especially the invasion ones that you go back into where they get very, very challenging. But I think the difference there is you could still luck out and make it through your first time.
Yeah.
If you've been playing the game a lot and you're good, you could, and you can react quickly, you could get it. It's not deliberately just dropping a thing on you that you never knew was coming and there was no way around without knowing it was
and
there.
That,
and this doesn't feel like that. This feels like you just have to die. Like, you can't luck out and make your way through it.
It's not really usually that, like, literally, like, a weight is dropped on your head and you'll, and it's like, fuck you, remember that next time.
Yeah.
It's just what comes at you so quickly.
Yeah.
And isn't really telegraphed in a way that
like
would make
a weight
it
dropping
what's
on
happening.
You.
More like a weight being thrown from the side of the screen.
But right.
Like, yeah, it's very old-fashioned and like arcadey in that way. And it's really just something that either you're going to put up with or not.
Like, right. I know this sounds like a very dumb complaint because it's just me going, I wish this was a different thing, and it's not, so get over it. But I just wish these were two separate games. I wish they had made a cool platformer that looks like an old 1930s cartoon.
Right.
And also just made a super punishing,
like 2D shooter.
Shooter game for people that are into that. I kind of wish they existed separately because I'd love to play it, but I just don't think I would find it fun.
I can't tell if I'm enjoying it as well.
Yeah.
Because it's that sort of thing where it's so frustrating, or like so, like at points so demanding that even when you do overcome whatever it is, rather than going like "fuck yeah, I finished it," you're like "ah, fuck you, I beat you."
Such a fine line, isn't it?
It's ridiculous, and it's also
I mean, obviously, a lot of it comes down to the player's skill level, but yeah, there was a couple of bosses in Rayman Legends that took me like quite a few goes and really like tricky stuff of like, and really having to make sure I was super precise, you know, no room for fucking up. Like, you don't have a health bar, like you just take one hit and that's it.
Yeah.
But it was like when I finally took it out, I felt like I beat this boss because I just learnt and I got better over the hour that it took me. And, like, I just am fucking good at this and I earned this victory. Not like, oh, thank God it's over and I got through.
Yeah, and there's some stuff of, like, you can only shoot in 8 directions. It's not, like, a full sort of circle analog shooting.
I've heard the layout of the buttons is a little
I changed
jarring.
That straight away.
Right.
Because, yeah, you're having to take your – like, you basically should never not be shooting.
Yeah,
right.
And so I'd move that button straight. But, like – yeah, just that it doesn't feel great to have to line yourself up and shoot diagonally to get this thing that, like, if you had an analog shooting control or whatever, then it some of that stuff just feels artificially kind of difficult, if that makes sense.
Right.
Like, the game feels like you are fucking banging your head against a wall. It's like a real cool guy.
so it feels like a Mario game.
Like the king of year 10.
But it is something that a lot of people will find rewarding, and the presentation of it does a lot to keep you interested.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it constantly looks like fascinating to look at in the same way that those old cartoons do, where there's so much happening in the animation that it is just fun to look at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I'll watch some playthroughs and that'll probably do me. Well, also, I don't even know why I'm saying that. I don't own a thing that it's on, so I can't play it either way.
Yeah. I'm really hyped to play. I just thought I couldn't play it. That's really cool. And, like,
for you, the bigger challenge was just, you know, fucking turning your brain on and working out that you can buy it.
Yeah.
Accidentally turning on your Google phone again.
Don't
say the word. But I know.
Okay, Boogle. Okay, Poodle.
It turned on.
I tricked it. You think you're a poodle, you idiot.
This is the best.
Okay, doodle.
It's still responding.
It thinks it's a doodle.
Oh, I love watching buyer's remorse sink in.
What I have come to realize about myself is that I am,
here we go.
I tend to be more of a style over substance person when it comes to games, or I can definitely be drawn in more by style and let that.
I don't know if the mic's picked that up, but
it is midway
what's the
through.
Google woman's name? It's not Siri.
I don't think she has a name.
Let's name her now.
Google.
Googlet.
Googlet? Sure.
Oh, fuck, what was I saying? Yeah, I have a tendency to let a great style, a style that I like,
yes,
push me through or keep me invested in a game even when I'm not that into the combat or the gameplay, yeah, or whatever that happens to be.
Do you not think
this will do that for
you?
Yeah,
right.
Because it's not bad and there is substance to it. It's just a really divisive type of substance.
Right, right.
But do you not think that most people are like that when it comes to games? Like, if you're just into the look and the feel of something, that goes a long way to, you know, your commitment to it.
No, I think that it depends. I think that, like, with Bioshock Infinite is one of my favorite games, and a lot of people criticize that for its repetitive gameplay. And,
right.
And the difficulty of the shooting, the unnecessarily...
Yeah, but that's my point, is that they clearly weren't sucked into the look and feel and vibe of it enough. Like, it wasn't doing it for them. Perhaps if it had been, they would have been prepared to overcome those... shortcomings.
I guess, but then I also think, like, no, it's objectively a beautiful game in a lot of ways, visually.
And yeah, I don't think anyone ever argued that the art style was bad or that. And
right,
or
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Right, right.
But it's just whether or not...
It does it for you.
Yeah.
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 Well, like,
yeah.
Persona 5 was like that for me. Sometimes you get a game where the style of it is so is such a deep core thing of its identity,
right. Yeah.
that is just a part of it, and it's you can't really separate it from the mechanics of it, if that makes sense.
Well, right. I'll talk about it a bit more in the future, but I started playing it on Sunday, and I played it for an hour and 45 minutes, and I, in that time, nearly 2 hours, I did fuck all. Mm. I pushed the button about 6 times, but... I was like, I don't care. Like, I love everything else that's going on. This looks so good. The music is amazing.
Yeah.
The whole vibe of it. I was just like, even if no more gameplay happens other than this very minor bits that I've done, I wouldn't care. Like, I'm just in. And now if I wasn't into any of that stuff, I'd be going, I'm just fucking watching a video. What's the point of this?
Yeah. Well, that's what happened to me with stuff like Tomb Raider, where I would really notice when I was just kind of holding forward for a while because all that other stuff didn't cover that up enough. And most games, there's at least a relatively large element of it where kind of it's doing a good job or not of covering up that you're interacting with it in a minimal way a lot of the time.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Well, let's move on to... two games that have come out for the Switch this week that I believe Ben and myself have both played.
Yes.
First of all, Golf Story.
Yes, which is a Switch exclusive.
Switch exclusive,
So, is this about the first or the second Golf War?
I think it's the second. Saddam Hussein's murdered at some point in this game.
Spoilers. So this got announced a little while ago, something that I've been very excited for because it's extremely my shit. It's a
game for children.
It's fucking easy. It's one step up from Mario Teaches Typing in the difficulty stakes.
Yes.
So it's a 16-bit styled top-down RPG set in the world of golf. Clearly,
the golf cinematic universe.
Clearly taking a lot of cues from the old Game Boy Color Mario Golf game.
Right.
Which there was a Mario Golf on the 64, which was just you playing golf. And then there was one on the Game Boy, which was this little RPG where you created a little avatar character and then you did all these little RPG tasks around this golf club.
Same as Mario Tennis?
Same thing. And you would play matches against all these other people that were kind of, I think most of them were invented for the game. Mm. You know, and the whole thing was you one day getting to take on the ultimate club champion, Mario himself, which is very funny that Mario is just this, in whatever occupation he's in, he's just this demigod figure that people just worship the all-time greatest golf player that's ever walked the earth.
Even though secretly abusive towards animals.
Yes. It's clearly, getting in on a bit of that, like trying to kind of recreate that vibe. Right. Feels like everyone who worked on this very influenced by that.
Right.
It's an Australian studio, which I didn't know until it came out. Sidebar Games, which I don't think they've done. They haven't done anything else that I could find.
Right.
I'd love to know more about them. But I read that about them and then you play it and you can tell within 5 minutes that it's... NPCs call you mate and items that you can buy are like sausage rolls and meat pies and stuff like that.
It is very Aussie.
It's very Aussie. Cool. Yeah,
you're from Australia doesn't mean that you have to go like, and everything's sausage. Like, I want everyone to know that Australians know that sausage rolls aren't the only food.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yes. There's pizza as well.
Yes. but yeah, it we'd kind of moved to make it very like Aussie slang based for something that they know is going to be quite global. Yeah. But anyway.
I think it's a great move. It just gives it a bit more character.
It gives it a lot of character. Yeah. So
I liked how Rare did that with all the British.
Yes, true.
Banjo was like a British bear. Mm.
Yeah.
And
a lot of, and a lot of British like rhyming slang and stuff there. But yeah, so it's got a lot of character in it. I think the writing is really good for what it's doing.
We were talking about this off air, just as friends. But it is a genuinely funny game.
Yes.
Which is something we've kind of touched on previously, how there's not a lot of funny games.
It's hard.
It's hard to make a funny game. Mm. And this, I think, succeeds.
Yeah.
I find it quite funny.
Yeah. It's basically you are going around from – you kind of gradually progress through these different golf courses. And there's like a – as is, you know, given away in the title, there is a bit of a story that's kind of pushing you forward. And it there's a mix between you playing like a little tournament – at each course where you go through the nine holes.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of going around and doing little challenges where it's like, hey, you have to hit this target or you have to try and... So it's just basically you playing golf again and again and again and again and again, which should get extremely boring extremely quickly, but the flair and the kind of writing that kind of underpins all these little challenges is just so charming and inventive and surprising at every turn that you... Like I find myself buying into it and just really wanting to get to the next little world to see what kind of things it throws at me. Like there's bits where, you know, there's like a course that's surrounded by water and they can't play the tournament because there's turtles in the water that are angry. So it's this whole thing of like, hey, hit your ball onto their shells and that'll make them happy again. So it's all just target practice.
Yeah.
But it's just
it also
the little
teaches
ways
you
that
a new technique where you can bounce balls off turtles' shells to reach extra to get to take a shortcut through a course.
There's one where there's birds stealing balls from the players on the course and different coloured birds take the balls to different areas. So you have to like help this guy like, hey, I need to work out which bird does which.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So
some will take it into a bunker, some will take it into the rough. Yeah.
So then there's a course where there's five of them scattered across and it's just like you have to like do each colour. Yeah. Like just all little things like this that are all – and the way the characters are written and the way they talk to you is all, very funny. And, the look of it is great.
Yeah.
How does the golf feel?
It really feels really good. Yeah, they've nailed it. They've nailed that side of it.
Yes.
It's, I mean, the mechanics of a golf video game haven't changed since the very first one on the NES, I guess. I think that was like the first one, or that kind of pioneered that.
So is it like push the button and then the meter moves and hit it again when it's at the right point?
Yeah, so have two ends. So one end controls distance and the other end controls power.
A wind gauge sort of thing.
All that stuff, slope.
All right, you don't have to insult me.
So the feel of when you line them up, because it gives you little markers of like if you want to do the perfect shot, get it in this bit, in this bit. The feel of when you get that, it hits the ball with this extra, there's like a special sound effect that you get.
Yeah, when you
this,
hit it perfectly.
This huge crack that feels great. The sound of the ball hitting like going into the hole.
Yep.
They've nailed that.
Totally.
It's almost as good as that.
the game, so yeah, like I agree with all of that stuff. And the game that it reminds me of the most is the Pokemon Red or Blue.
Yeah.
Because what it basically is that story, but and you go from town to town or course to course, and before you can get to the gym or play the course properly in a competition, you have to solve a bunch of problems and find something for someone and unlock this and... it's basically that exact structure applied to a top-down golf game, and it's really addictive. The golf part of it is very addictive and satisfying.
Great.
It is kind of easy, but
but the golf part of it, as you get up to the new courses, you unlock them in a quick play mode where you can just go in and play a one or two player round of golf.
Yeah.
And I played the other day with my big dumb jock of a girlfriend. And it's great. Like, it's that's maybe one of its best assets is that you've got this cool, simplistic little portable golf game that's, you know, yeah, easy to control, easy to pick up and play, like the perfect kind of thing for the Switch in a handheld capacity.
Yeah.
I'm guessing the answer to this is no, but there's no like motion control option.
There's no motion control, no. It's really addictive and really good. Like, if I had to pick gripes, the music is good, but it's just like it's kind of got this like jazzy instrumental soundtrack, which just it's weird to have these like very nice 16-bit graphics and then have music that's not in that style as well.
Right.
I find that weird.
Yeah, I have not registered the fact that there is music at all.
Yeah.
It's totally background music.
And also the thing I find a little weird about it is that you, for every challenge that you do, you rack up all this cash.
Yeah.
And then there's like shops in each little new place that you go to, but they only ever have like one club that you can buy. Like, it's weird that you are constantly getting money for the chores that you do, but then there's like nothing to buy with it, which seems weird. It seems like the sort of thing that would really lend itself to like, oh no, you can get sunglasses for your character, or you can get all this crazy other stuff that's gonna like, you know, really change your game. And you buy new clubs, but they don't seem like they do that. They don't seem like they change much at all.
No, and like half of the items are just like quest items that you end up having to get anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's not, like with the Pokemon example, there's not different. You don't like go, maybe if I can get like the Master Club, I will get an extra 50 yards on this hit, but you can only use it 5 times. So you like, there's none of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. But that's
weird.
Yeah. But that's a minor complaint, and it's like it feels like it's gotten a great response so far. So it definitely seems like something that they'll do add-ons for or something. Because
people see some bloody Aussies getting out there.
Yeah.
Make a couple games.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of good Aussie games on the Switch. Like Sonic is kind of technically Aussie made.
Yeah.
Death Squared is really great.
Yeah.
This is really great.
Is coming out again. I guess that's sort of
what? Sorry.
LA Noir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Sort of.
I said great. Anyway, that's definitely worth checking out if you own a Switch. Something else I've been playing this week is SteamWorld Dig 2.
Yeah.
I believe you have started playing this.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went and stalked your little profile on the Switch last night, didn't I?
How many hours have I put in? Like one or two?
It doesn't register until you've played five.
Right,
it says played for a little while.
That's
and then
right.
you hit five and it's like 5 hours.
Yeah.
Now, I think there needs to be something in between a little bit and 5 hours.
Yeah.
That's a big chasm.
Yeah.
Mm. what do you think?
I don't think I'm into it.
Right.
Yeah.
What is it? I have no idea what this is.
It's a sequel. It's obviously a sequel.
Wait, what?
I never played the original, but so you're a little robot and you're trying to find the main character from the first game who kind of went missing. And it's basically you are mining. You got this little pickaxe and you're kind of mining your way down, 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 down. And as you go, you pick up, find gems and you find, you know.
And you buy a better drill that you.
And you go, then you go up to the surface, then you buy better equipment. So
there are a bunch of Flash games that used to be around that were like this.
It's super like Metroidvania kind of like, you know, you.
Make the numbers go up so you can go further, you can make the numbers go up further.
Totally. Totally. And it's interesting. I thought it would be extremely your shit because playing it was like, oh, this is what you are saying you enjoy about the loop of No Man's Sky.
Right.
And it kind of made me realize it's just like, this is what we're saying before. It's all just like the package that appeals to you the most.
Yeah.
And No Man's Sky didn't, and this really does because it's cool little robot characters. Again, the music is great. The style, it looks amazing, like for what it's doing.
Right.
I'm super hooked into it and really enjoying it.
I it's so basic, but like I don't find the gameplay fun.
Right.
Like physically, I don't like the kind of 2D platforming nature. I don't really like the style.
Right.
Like I don't hate it. I don't dislike it, but I don't like it enough to make me keep playing a game that I'm just kind of not that into.
It's interesting because I had seen it like announced and stuff and just kind of went, looks fine, but I'm just going to give it a miss because there's enough stuff coming out that I'm super, super into.
Yeah.
And then just read a couple of really great reviews, and Andrew Levin's friend of the show was like really, really into it. And yeah. I just kind of went, okay, I guess I'll. And yeah, it's. I think once I finished it, it's not something I'm busting to 100% or really, you know, go super beyond just the main story.
Yeah.
But it's a great little, you know, you can pick it up and you just kind of chip away and you go down the mine and you get a new pickaxe and it's like just good for a little half hour session of just kind of, you know, yeah, it is. And it is, it's very satisfying now when you, like when I open my map and it's like you're so far down and you kind of remember like you started right up the very top and you had no resources or anything. Like I love that feeling of like going and you, like you unlock stuff where you can go back up quick. Like you unlock a jetpack where you can like fly up through and stuff and a grappling hook. And once you have all those things where you can move around super freely, I think it becomes a lot more fun.
Yeah.
Because I did find at the very start, oh, this is just kind of a, digging through the dirt is just kind of a pain in the ass and it takes too long. And,
yeah.
But you pretty quickly upgrade your skills to the point where you can breeze through it without too much hassle.
I also think that I don't like the idea of it being like a mining thing where you go down and down and down. Like something about the, that feels kind of claustrophobic or something.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah, there have been a couple of points where I'm like, yeah, this is a bit, this is super unsettling.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
No, which I totally.
I feel like that. It sounds dumb coming out of my mouth, but that's just genuinely how I feel about it.
I can totally.
I don't like playing games with big spiders.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they are not cooperative players, and we never get very far.
No, I can totally understand that.
Yeah.
I have had that like creep in a couple of times, which it's trying to do.
Yeah.
Like, so you could argue that it's effective.
Totally.
And in some players' cases, perhaps too effective.
Hey, and it's the complete opposite of No Man's Sky, where you're flying into the galaxy.
Your phone has turned on again.
Why does it keep doing that?
I don't think we've said anything that even sounds like Google. I shouldn't have said Google. Sponsor of the show.
Sponsor of the show, Google. Anyway, yeah, I think they're two, for me, they've been two, very fun additions to the Switch library. They're both only like $20-something,
yeah.
So
yeah,
they're, you know, well worth your time if they sound.
Because I went to buy Golf Story because you guys had talked about it, and it is cheaper on the American store.
Oh, really?
Australian.
Oh,
only by like a couple of bucks, but it's just so fucking annoying that that keeps happening over here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Steam's going to have Australian prices soon, which they haven't ever for 10 years or something, which is fucking stupid.
Mm.
But the people are apparently, what's happened in some other countries when they've shifted over to their currency, is that the prices all go up because of whatever reason.
Mm.
Stuff's more expensive in Australia than it should be anyway.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think, yeah, like, I don't know what people think Golf Story sounds like, but it actually, like, I've played a lot of it, and there's a lot to go. I feel like it is a game that's worth $20 easily.
Definitely,
like, I've put
a
shit ton of time into it.
And like
I love
said,
Mario Tennis on the Game Boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think
it's fun, it's charming, it'll take up a lot of your time in the single player. And then, like I said, you get this really cool, like, simplistic, but very fun and easy to throw someone else into competitive golf game.
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, it's the feel of it is all great. The HD Rumble is really good.
Yeah, yeah,
the
totally.
Rumble, the Rumble stuff that it does, that that big
thing. How many golf balls did it feel like were in the controller?
Two.
Yeah, that big thing that no one has really done anything with yet.
Yeah.
So a lot of fun there. Is there anything else that any of us have played?
I played a bit more of Nier Automata.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm still in the bit where it's more of a typical RPG, like a lot of fetch quests and stuff like that. But the combat and the kind of like just the basic world traversal is just really fun and really tight. And the art style in that combined with the gameplay is like, oh, this is still a very, very good game.
I really want to play that.
I only mentioned it again because it's like you got to play it this year.
I've got it sitting on my because I ordered. I got Persona 5 and Nier Automata at the same time.
Yeah, that's right.
Is this an easier one to dip in and out of? Because I feel like now that I'm in with Persona, I'm going to really need to, like...
I think they're kind of on par. Like, Persona is longer, but I think they're very similar.
But
they're
I mean, very similar. Like, is Nier Automata easier, would you say, to kind of dip out of for a bit and then pick up again? Because that's my worry about Persona, if I leave it too long in between. Persona, but it also has that little story thing where you can go and...
And it's kind of structured almost similar to like TV show seasons or something.
Yeah, totally.
It's an overarching narrative, but each segment of it is pretty independent.
Self-contained. Yeah, that's a good point.
Nier and Neo as well.
Yeah,
two things I want to get around to.
Yeah.
I played a little bit of Super Mario Sunshine.
Oh, yeah.
And by a little bit, I mean a fair amount of it.
Okay.
Couldn't tell which way that was going to go.
Was it more or less than 5 hours?
it was more than five, probably.
Okay, cool.
It would have been about seven, but that's for something else.
Mm.
Oh,
a different podcast.
Secrets.
Other than this one.
No, it's not.
No, we're doing another special thing soon.
Yes.
But, I'm going through and playing a few of them Mario games, and let me tell you, Sunshine.
No good.
I'm going to talk about it later because I want to gather my thoughts, but I didn't have a good time.
What are you playing? Are you playing it on an emulator?
No, I'm playing it on the... on
you
the,
have a GameCube.
I have a Wii.
Oh.
And that can play the old GameCube things. Yeah,
nice.
Well,
I guess
you play some Final Fantasy 12 as well?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I've played the first couple of hours of that. I don't know if I'm into it.
Yeah, right.
And it's, as with all of the Final Fantasy games, I reckon you can tell in the first few hours because that's the characters, the story, the style, and the combat are all laid out in those first few hours. I'd really like to like it, but I'm not sure if I do at
this
point.
From my 11-year-ago memory, and as we've proven, it doesn't go back for 2 years currently, so I don't know if this is reliable, but I remember it being one of those ones where it's like the first 4 hours are kind of blah.
Yeah, okay.
And then so I don't know, but...
Not convinced yet, but I'll keep playing it when I have the time.
Right. Nice.
So never.
Well, I guess we should wrap that up for this week on Filthy Casuals.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Thank you if you're one of the people who supports us on Patreon. If you'd like a t-shirt or to come to our Sydney show, filthycasuals.com.au is where you can find all that stuff. Leave us a review and rating on iTunes. All that stuff really does help.
Yeah.
Let us know, as we are getting near the end of the year, anything that you think is a serious Game of the Year contender that we have missed out on, because I'm trying to kind of get through some of the ones that I never got around to.
Mm.
I've got to pick up Horizon again and put more time into that for sure. Let us know if there's anything that you think needs to be included in that, because that's time to start thinking about that, I guess. Yes, thanks once again for listening. And as we say at the end here of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
Golf story, what are you, Bob Hope? He had a golf club. I genuinely didn't have one. This time.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.